Wonderful. Well, welcome to the webcast. It's Wednesday, the 27th of February, 2019, and we are absolutely delighted to have a very, very special guest speaker with us this evening, Jane Trentham from Bath in the UK. Now, a little secret, Jane is connected to the Bridgnorth Group. Yeah. Mike and Sue often on the webcast. Jane is one of their daughters. And just over a couple of years ago, I was with Mike and Sue, and they were telling me just some of the stuff Jane was thinking about and feeling and just, you know, working through in her own heart. And so I actually spent some time with Jane and her husband, Tom, before I went to speak at INS, because many years ago now, Jane, isn't it? Jane was at one of the first INS in New Zealand. The first INS in New Zealand, and so she'd really been sort of living in this revelation for a number of years, and really had some great wisdom for the students coming out of INS and how to live in Father's love. So I picked her brains and got to know her a bit, and then shared some of her stuff at INS when I was there a few weeks later, and so we just kept in touch, and since then, but. I just heard from Jane a few weeks ago that, you know, Father's been speaking again, and she's got some stuff she wants to share with us. So we're really excited. Her topic this evening is Father Knows Us Full Well. And I know that we're in for a great evening and that we're going to be really blessed. So, Jane, having built you up, I'm just going to pray for you. And then Barry and I will turn our videos and microphones off, and we'll come back whenever you call us in again. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity just to be together again. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for just loving each one of us right now. And, Father, thank you for Jane and all that you've given her to share this evening. I just ask, Father, that you would give her the ability to communicate that in a very clear way, despite the unusual format of doing it. Father, I just pray you'd be with her, you'd bless her, you'd give her peace as she shares. And Father, may we together hear your voice through her words. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Jane.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks,
Thank
Jane. You. We'll see you in a bit.
Okay. I think Mark said there in a very kind introduction about living out the revelation of Father, I think, and learning to live as a daughter. I think that has become a theme. It's something that I'm passionate about. If things don't have a practical application, I find it very difficult. So I did INS just over 10 years ago. So that was the first one. And the transition back to the UK was challenging and bumpy and wonderful. But all the while, it was about learning to live and being loved. So I guess what I'm feeling, just to share a little bit today, is some of the more recent bit of that journey in its very ordinariness, and it is recent, it is present. I'm not entirely sure whether the revelation that I feel is being dripped into my heart has really percolated fully yet, so I'm sort of hoping that even sharing it for the first time will help it settle more fully. And it's my desire that there might be bits that are encouraging to other people as well. So I'm just gonna use this time just to share a little bit of that very real story. I suppose where I'm gonna start is back in autumn time. We have a little girl who's just turned two. She wasn't yet two back in autumn. And I was beginning to have an anxiety about her language development. And despite knowing that there's often things that, you know, no reason to worry and be anxious about things, I think there's something wired into a mum that does. And so I was anxious that she wasn't, her words weren't coming as quickly as I thought that they should. And yet she has a phenomenal ability to communicate through actions and mimes, and we just know, Tom and I know what she's trying to say, and she's peaceful in it. She's not frustrated. She's very clear and articulate in her own way. And I was just talking to my sister about my anxiety, and she just simply said to her, well, you've got a bond with her, and that bond is more important than the ability, than her ability to find the words to communicate. And it is the bond that you have with her that is enabling you to understand her. You know her. You know her full well. Not fully well like Heavenly Father knows her, but as a mum, as one of her parents, we know her as, you know, better than anybody else. And it just helped settle something in me. And since then, she's beginning to develop words, and I truly know there isn't anything to worry about. But that little very real anxiety and just thinking about it, it triggered a thought in me about how Father God knows me, knows us full well, to the extent that we don't need words to articulate what's going on in us, or who we are, or whatever it is we want to try and say to Heavenly Father. You know, He knows us beyond words. And that actually brought a lot of comfort to me. In fact, I think it has been allowed me to go to a deeper level in my communication with Heavenly Father, in that I've felt that I don't need to try and tell Him or talk to Him. He knows me full well. And as that began to sort of settle in my heart, that He knows me full well, and Psalm 139 is that beautiful psalm that talks about being known. And so I sort of read that, and it just, yeah, it allowed me just to kind of sit at a depth of being known in a way that I haven't done so before. But it also made me, as much as it brought me comfort that He knows my personality and my gifts and my talents and my circumstances, He also knows the dark side and the challenge has been, am I okay with my dark side? Because Heavenly Father is, and He knows me full well, even those parts of me that are less good. But it's like, as much as I judge those things that I see in me that aren't so good, He's not judging me in the same way as I often judge myself. I'm judging myself through the lens, as it were, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm doing an analysis of myself and probably of the people around me to make a comparison, to either elevate me and make me feel better or make me feel worse. But He looks at me through the finished work of the cross, and He sees the new creation. He sees the new creation beginning to emerge in me as I learn to live daily, being loved by Him and being fathered by Him. So I guess that's the kind of context for the next bit of the journey that has been quite challenging. You know, this appreciation that He knows those depths. At about the same sort of time, back in autumn time, I began to struggle with my dark side, anxiety, and those sort of looming clouds of depression and sort of my sleep was disturbed, and patterns of behaviour and thought patterns that I have often struggled with over the years, and although aren't anything like what they were when I was younger, they are still there, sort of hovering on the edge, and I was aware that there were grey clouds looming, and an increasingly low perception of myself. So what I saw was, we've been here before, and this is sort of coming round again, and Father, what do I do? What's the trigger here? Why is this happening? And I happened to have to go to the surgery for sort of run-of-the-mill thing, and I picked up a parenting magazine, and in it there was an article about a centre we have in Bath that deals with children who have experienced trauma counselling centre, and there was just a lovely article on it, and I was interested to read it and find out what they do, and they had a definition of trauma in this article, and I will read it in a minute because I found it very helpful, because what I realised that there had been a number of triggers in thought patterns really that had began the series of gloomy experiences over the autumn. Before I read the definition of trauma, it was a few thought patterns that were the triggers, and I'll just say quickly what they were for me. One was a sort of an irrational anxiety about my daughter and her schooling, and she's two, and she's not about to start school tomorrow, but a number of conversations I'd had with people whose children were starting school made me visualise my little girl starting school, and for me school was a very traumatic experience, and I was bullied from the age of 5 to when I left at 16, although I've dealt with a lot of the incidents of that time, the thought that I would, how I would say it, is subject my daughter to a system that I only knew would cause wounding was a very dark thought to me, and it would cause a big reaction to go off inside of me whenever I thought of it or whenever people mentioned schooling. A couple of other things that triggered my negative thought processes were we're expecting another baby later, early summer, and the idea of being exposed to the medical system, not the education system, but the medical system, caused a lot of anxiety. Through delivery, our delivery wasn't quite what we imagined last time. Nothing bad, and Father was with us in it, and the testimony of it is really beautiful. But I would do anything to avoid it. So there was a reaction in me to want to avoid it quite strongly. And the other one was imagining the first few months of our little baby's life, because last time around it was very difficult, and feeding our little girl was very difficult for me. And the idea of having to go through that again would be something that I would choose to avoid, and low self-confidence in imagining my ability to be able to do it again. So there was these three, I would say, triggers in my thought processes, all about things that weren't present now but were future. So when I was in the doctor's surgery and read this definition of trauma, I realized what my heart was responding to was trauma. So I'll read it. It says, trauma is the response to a deeply distressing or disturbing event that overwhelms an individual's ability to cope. It causes feelings of helplessness, diminishes their sense of self and their ability to feel the full range of emotions or experiences. I always thought trauma was something that happened to other people and that was far worse than these everyday occurrences. But I was, even that perspective is viewing it from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's making a comparison. And I guess what I was realizing that no event is more wounding than another if it caused those reactions in us, in me. And calling it trauma, calling things that happened to me trauma, was helpful. And I think I would just say on that point that we were designed to live in the garden in the presence of Almighty God, who is the ultimate comforter. And anything less than that actually is traumatic for our hearts. So, you know, chatting with my mum about this and what do I do with it, I now can recognise it and I now can call it something perhaps, but what do I do about it so that I can get free? And it took me a while to, and I'm still in that process, but she summarised beautifully what I think I was actually experiencing. She said that there was a sense of, I felt abandoned when situations became out of my control. And if I actually, you know, that resonated with me when she said that. And my heart, I agreed with that. And if I actually was honest about who I felt abandoned by, and I said this to her, as I actually felt abandoned by mum and dad. But that didn't make sense to my head because that was, you know, mum and dad don't go to school with you every single day of your school life. And mum and dad don't come into the maternity unit with you when you're having a baby. And so although I was, my reaction was, it's mum and dad who's abandoned me, I reasoned that out, but what I felt father was showing me was that actually it's fathering and mothering. It wasn't necessarily mum and dad, it was fathering and mothering that I felt abandoned by. And that truth is that he never left me, or, you know, he never abandoned me. No, he never did that. So it's coming back to the truth that lie that I believed, and Father's been wanting to turn that round and speak that truth into my heart. My natural way of coping with situations where I anticipate I'm going to be out of control are to try and control, try and anticipate what may happen, try and organise, try and problem solve it. It's that kind of fight or flight reaction that we all experience when we're feeling a little bit out of control. You know, that internal battle of that defensiveness, that wanting to either withdraw and avoid a situation, that sort of flight, or we'll go at it guns blazing and it will be defensive. And I would say I would have prepared an argument for any teacher that I ever met or hospital midwife. I would go armed. That was my reaction to feeling out of control. So although I felt like I was at this stage come early spring, only a few weeks ago, I was on a journey into this deep place that Father knew full well, and yet I still I still didn't know what to do with it, to see the freedom. I think, and this is where the bit of the journey, I suppose, merges with a revelation that I haven't quite got yet, I suppose. The lights are being turned on, but they're still a little bit hazy. In that previously, before I came into a revelation of sonship, I felt like I knew what I could do to deal with issues of my heart. And I felt like I knew if something came up through regular life that I could go to a something, a strategy, a person, a ministry to be healed. And healing has been a big part of my journey over the years. But this time it felt different. And I know I've spoken to other people who have described how when they've come into revelation of sonship, a lot of their old patterns and ways and doing things, they felt bereft of, and that's how I felt now. I felt like I had been here before. We'd faced school and we'd faced these situations before, and I'd forgiven everybody I could think of to forgive, and that had brought a release to an extent, but here I was again. And one of the things that John MacDonald spoke of when he shared an A school in Scotland, we were with him last summer, when he was sharing on the importance of forgiveness, he said, you know, there are times when we've done all the forgiving and it's about reconciling to the loss. And that in this situation has really resonated with me. And yet, you know, there have been times when you can reconcile to the loss because you can list what's been lost. You can say, I lost this because I had it. But if you've never had it, how do you know what you've lost? And I could guess or imagine, but that would be, I think, something of a fantasy. And I'm not sure how helpful that would be. So reconciling to loss in this case was just grieving, but blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I think that has been the theme, I suppose, of these last few years for me, is that I'm much more comfortable talking about comfort of heaven than I am to do with healing of the heart. Because comfort has, for me, almost two wings. I spoke a little bit about comfort when I did the last webcast, but I'm sort of skipping ahead a bit, but I think this is important to say now, that comfort for me has that meaning of being alongside and being close to, and that nearness to us, almost as one wing, if you like. But there's a strength about his comfort, the Holy Spirit of comfort, Father of all comfort, in that it calls by name, it strongly encourages, it gives courage to support, it alleviates grief, pain, sorrow, disappointment. It's rooted in the words parakaleo, alongside, para, alongside, kaleo, to call by name. And I realised that what I was needing was not a healing of the heart, a strategy, but actually comfort. One of the things I felt Father say to me at this time was, you don't need to fight. You just have to remember who you are. When I say I felt Father say that to me, you have to have the context of I'm a mum of a two-year-old and I work a bit, and it's pretty busy. Life is busy. I'm busy. People live busy lives, and our life is is full, and to have any time to sit and pontificate about these things is tricky. But in the busyness of things, that's what I felt Father whispered to my heart, was I don't need to fight, I just need to remember who I am. And that comes back to that sense of he knows me full well. And in Ephesians, it reminds us who we are. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we also have received an inheritance, a destiny, having been predestined, chosen, appointed beforehand, according to the purpose of him who works everything in agreement with his counsel and the design of his will. That's from the Amplified Version. And it was the why the beginning. It says, in him. And I realized that who am I? Who am I is, I am daughter. I am child of Almighty God in him. And in him, a part of him, in that, you know, we've heard people, you know, anyone who's in sort of any schools, but for me, I see Trevor and Linda sharing on this, that the Trinity and our position in the Trinity, and they do that lovely illustration of getting onto people's laps. And that's our position in the Trinity, in him and from him. I am his inheritance, he is my inheritance. And what does it look like to walk in the inheritance of sonship? I think that looks like having a heart that is comforted. And it's that inheritance that rang true in my heart as I began to go, well, what do I do about having these areas of discomfort, these grey areas, these gloomy clouds sorted out, so that I can walk not only free from the pain, but actually in my inheritance. The story of the prodigal son, the son is given a ring of authority, and that authority is something that Father is inviting us as his children to use as we mature and grow in sonship. And it's very simply that we have that ring because of our adoption as sons. And you may have heard that the word huothesia, the true word for adoption, and that son placement. The prodigal son story is about the placement of the son in the family, adoption. And that we have that ring because we simply are adopted into his family, and that is who we are. Ones who can not just live free of the pain, but to live life. And so I'm having all these thoughts and these drops of revelation and these scriptures that are coming alive to my heart. I can't say in all honesty that I have spent time reading the Bible, but they've just become living in my heart where they've been lodged there previously. But this has all been well, but it was sort of in my head, and remembering who I am and dealing with the sleeplessness and anxiety was very difficult. Like, what do I do with it? I still felt like I was up the creek without the paddle of previous experiences where I could just go and say a linear prayer for healing. It felt like I was on a stormy water that was going to get more and more stormy, with more grey clouds getting bigger, and I wanted my paddle, I wanted my key to healing, I wanted the way out for this. And then I just happened to be listening to a little bit of Stephen Hill's teaching, and I highly recommend, if you've not done so already, his website. I think it's Ancient Futures, and there's some free resources and teaching on there. I'll let Stephen know that I've plugged another time. But I want to honour Stephen because he has a gifting in giving words. Certainly I've experienced his gifting of giving words to mystery, yet revealed. And that's a prophetic gifting that he has. And he has helped me articulate some of my own journey recently through listening to some of his teaching. And one of the things that, this is sort of my version of what he was sharing, was I think I'd viewed healing almost like a magic potion, like you see in cartoons where there's a wound and they find the magic potion and they pour it on and it disappeared, it's magic, it's gone, it's disappeared. And I think I viewed and expected the healing of God to be like that. And in some ways, it's the wrong tree perspective. It's that idea of I must be healed. If there's something wrong with me, if there's a dark side to me, then it must be put right and made right. And my version of right was disappeared. And I am beginning to change my idea of that, because it almost suggests a sense of self-righteousness, I suppose, because Jesus was wounded on the cross and he bears the scars, he bears scars. And I'm beginning to change my perspective in that I'm wondering that actually when our hearts are comforted, the sting and the pain, the sting of death, if you like, is no longer there, but the evidence of our journeys and our stories and our scars can still be there. And I guess the challenge to my heart is, am I okay with that? Because there may be others who would see me and see my scars, and I may struggle with them. And who knows, I may become vulnerable to situations again where anxiety and old ways and patterns of thought become familiar to me again, and I again have to remember who I am and be reminded that my Father knows me full well and sees me through the finished work of the cross. So this is the, I guess, the revelation that's dripping into my heart. But practically, I guess, my challenge has been, what does this really mean? And another way that Father has shown me that he knows me full well is through the very small things of everyday life. And I'll explain this because I think maybe this will encourage some people. As I said before, being a mum and being someone who appreciates alone time and you don't get much of it, I think I had to try and make a decision to carve out tiny moments of time to turn my hands and my heart, my mind, to what I would describe as Jane activities. Activities that bring me life. And they have been things like spotting a robin on the wall outside and realizing Father created that robin. And in a sense, Barry's been talking about a childlike heart, and it's been that sense of awe and wonder. Ha! That robin's come to say hello. See, that works for me. It wouldn't work for other people I know, but it's been the ritual of making a cup of coffee. And even if I don't get to drink it all, or even if I drink it cold, just while life is going on, just making that cup of coffee that's for me. It's been Mark and Barrow were talking about the weather earlier, and it's been, for me, it's been seeing the bulbs that I planted in the autumn emerge and going to pick some flowers from the garden to bring them in. Those are Jane things, and they are personal to me. But they've been soul-soothing activities. That's how I describe them. Are they spiritual? I don't know. But they've been soothing to my soul. And in them, I have been trying to recognise them with a childlike wonder and asking Father for a light-hearted faith to see new creation come forth from a place of wounding and pain. That he calls forth new creation. All creation is aching and groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. And there's something that I'm realizing that new life comes out, resurrection life comes out of our woundedness and even out of scars. And that's how that kind of, when he says you don't need to fight, you just have to remember who you are. Just try and remember who you are. And he's been reminding me who I am and what I love. And I'm just trying to recognize that in myself and celebrate it a little bit more. And I've been asking him to give me the faith to receive with a sort of gentle humility the strength and courage, that comes back to that word comfort again, to give courage, to give strength, to be okay with my own scars, knowing that, you know, not knowing what will happen with them and being comfortable with that. And I think I'm beginning to realise that it's not my responsibility to pursue healing, but to find my own unique ways of abiding in Father and his love. To live being loved. In some ways I feel like I'm saying all this nobly, like I've got it, and I'm not sure I fully have yet. But it's my desire to live from a heart that is being comforted, to be able to be in a situation when I speak to my midwife, to have that angst comforted in that moment where I'm not fighting for my rights, and to begin to realise that Evie will have good positive experiences growing up with her companions in a learning environment, whatever that looks like. And those are the very kind of the real manifestations, I suppose, I believe, of resurrection life being poured out, being called out of a place of woundedness. And I guess that's my dream for living loved as sons and daughters, that level of comfort, that depth, that inheritance that is ours. And I think just almost just to finish off, and I've not been tracking the time at all, so I've no idea. Yeah, it was a good time. Just look. I guess that's my dream for the church, for the body of Christ, for the bride, whatever you want to call it, is that's what I'm realizing is the manifold glory of God being revealed. It's this multifaceted expression, these unique expressions of us individually living out our inheritance from a place of having our hearts comforted, knowing that we are known full well, knowing that we are sons and daughters of Almighty God, able to use that ring, that signet ring, to bring creative words of life, to speak creative words of life into ourselves and our circumstances into the systems of this world, because that's our inheritance. And that, I guess, is my big dream, is that that's what together as family, as a community of believers, is the church, is the bride emerging. And but I just get to be responsible for, well, I don't know, just have to trust my Heavenly Father to love me, and he's helping me to trust him. So yeah, that's a little bit of my story over the last few weeks. We're still getting there, but I'm known full well, and so are you, and we're in it together. So, Barry and Mark. I need to log that on to my computer now.
Jane, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. That was excellent. Really, really appreciate you sharing your heart with us and the reality of your journey. I think that's a very... I was just asking myself the question as you were speaking, am I comfortable with my own scars? That's a really powerful question, Jane. And the fact that we can rest in being fully known... It's really, really good. Thank you. I think that really, you know, trusting and believing that a new creation inside of us will come out of the pain and out of the scars. And we don't have to be healed fully, but there'll be that resurrection life. That's really powerful. Yeah, I was really, really struck by that.
Awesome. It was really awesome, Jane. Thank you for that. That's, you know, I think people are looking for substance, mm-hmm. you know, something that is real, something that flows from our life, and it's coming from your life. And yeah, it was just rich. Thank you for breaking the bread of your own life with us. I'm not sure. Do you have the saying in England where the rubber meets the road? Do you have
that? Yes. Yeah. We gave it to you, Barry, remember?
What was I thinking? Yes. Well, it was just, I really believe that, yeah, just so many things that you said, and even just when you said about not needing words. You know, Jesus said your Father knows what you need before you even ask, yeah? And yeah. Just how does that change even the way we think we communicate, you know? It's in the silence too, yeah? So it's really good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Hey, why don't we just pray for them, pray for folks, Barry?
Yeah, that would be great.
And, you know, I think what Jane said tonight has resonated with many hearts, that, you know, many of us struggle with the pain in our hearts. And as Jane said, you know, there's part of us, we all want to be healed. But actually recognizing that even in that place, our heart can be comforted. And even though the sting of the pain is no longer there, the evidence of the scars may still be there, but out of that will come new life. Yeah. I think many of us resonate with that. And let's just take a few moments to bring those areas of our heart to the Father, that we can be comforted, and that we may still carry the scars, but we can live loved. We can rest in his love. So, yeah, Father, thank you for what we've heard tonight. And Father, that there's a deeper place for us to find in you. That indeed you do know us full well. You know everything about us. And it doesn't put you off loving us. You do know us well. And Father, many of us bear scars. Many of us have been wounded. Many of us carry those wounds. And we're aware of our own shortcomings. We're aware, as Jane said, of our dark side. But Father, we just, tonight, we want to give those to you. We want to give our hearts to you. And we want the strength of your comfort to fill our hearts, that would make us comfortable with our wounds, that we can trust you, Father, to bring new life, new resurrection life out of the pain. And Father, living in sonship is not having a perfect life. It's not having it all together. It's not arriving at the end of a journey, but living in sonship is to live comforted and to walk as Jesus walked, having the same heart as Jesus had. So Father, if there's anything in us that is striving for perfection, Father, help us to lay that aside and allow our hearts to be comforted. Because as we do, we will discover the deeper level of sonship being birthed inside of us. Father, help us to lay aside our self-righteousness, our perfection, our drivenness, and help us just to rest, being loved. And Father, that even though you know us full well, there's no insecurity that we need to feel. There's no fear we need to feel, because you know us full well, because you don't judge, you don't condemn, you don't criticize, but you love and you affirm and you build us up. So Father, we thank you and we just bless you. And we bless Jane and Tom and Evie. Amen.
Yeah, Father, we thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted, and you will save those who are crushed in spirit.
Yeah.
Father, I just pray that you would just awaken each and every one of us, just the awareness of your nearness, even now. Times in our life and in our scars, Father, where we feel that we need to hide them with fig leaves, Father, I just pray that, yeah, there just be an awareness of your abiding presence and your acceptance and your love and your joy over our lives. Wow, where we have been on a journey where we think that we need to accomplish something, be something other than we are in order to be loved. Father, I pray that just the revelation of your acceptance and your joy over our lives right now, Father, would bring comfort at the deepest level, that you enter into the fellowship of our suffering. Because you are the Father of compassion.
Yeah.
And the God of all comfort.
Yeah.
So Abba, we just open our hearts up to you again today. Thank you that you don't judge us. You don't even see what we see. You see us through the lens of your Son, through the blood of Jesus, through the new creation reality. So Father, we just ask that you would just, that faith would rise up in our hearts today to believe that's the truth, that we are loved, that we are saved, we are secure in your embrace today. And Father, we thank you for Jane. We thank you for her life. We thank you for the vulnerability that she has just been so courageous to break the bread of her own life with us. And we pray a blessing on her and Tom and their children. And Father, that just the revelation would continue to flow out in the coming days. Amen.
Amen.
Good stuff, eh?
Yeah.